Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to begin a new series of studies which we are going to entitle Seven Figures Depicting or Portraying the Christian, as seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And now let us take a quick rundown through the chapter and see these pictures. In verse 1, we read there, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here, Timothy is seen as a son. And then, in the next verse, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Here the Christian is seen as a soldier. And then in the very next verse, verse 5, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Here the Christian is seen as an athlete. This will be developed at some length in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians when we get to it. And then in 6th verse of this 2nd chapter, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." And here we see the Christian depicted as a gardener or as a farmer. I think that most of the translations just call him a farmer. "The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." And then down in verse 15 we read, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Here we see the Christian depicted or portrayed as a workman. And then down in verse 20 we read, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now we see the Christian here as a vessel. And then lastly, in verse 24, we see the Christian depicted as a servant. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves," and so forth. Now this will give us an idea of where we will be heading during these studies. Now let's go back to verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Timothy worked as with a son with the Apostle Paul. Paul calls him his son on many occasions, and he does so for a reason. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, this shows the high esteem that Paul had for this young man. They spent so many years together, and Timothy was so faithful. And then he says to the Philippians, who were in dire straits at this time, spiritually speaking. Verse 19 of that second chapter of Philippians, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Paul was worried about them. "But I know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." It was just like a father and son relationship. They had a community of interest. You know, that is so lovely to see fathers and sons linked together in that fashion. Perhaps you've seen the sign on over the door or the up in the top of the building of the business, Smith and Son, or Jones and Son, or whatever. The father and the son have a community of interest. The father took the son into the business, and he hopes that the son will carry on the business even after his retirement. Now, this is a lovely relationship, and quite a common relationship. And this is the community of interest that held Paul and Timothy together. They strove together in the work of God. And Timothy was a teacher by gift. Paul tells him here, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy was a teacher, and he was to teach others as the Apostle Paul had done. Now, we go on to the second figure, the second portrait of the Christian, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to deal with that today. We're going to continue on with the Son. We just have too much material on our hands. Let's just consider the Son, this community of interest that speaks of the supreme example of a community of interest between God the Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it really shows for. And then we want to move from this beautiful relationship between Timothy and Paul to our relationship with our Father which is in heaven. We read there in 1 John 3:1, the relationship of love that binds us to our Father in heaven. Now let me say right here at this junction in the broadcast, these broadcasts are beamed to Christian people, but there will be that in the broadcasts that will excite the interest of the unredeemed, that they might share in these joys and in these privileges. Now, before we can call God our Heavenly Father, we have to be born into His family. Now, we're born into His family spiritually the moment that we trust our Lord Jesus Christ. We were born into our earthly family, but that does not mean that we're born into God's family. Our father and our mother may be the most devout of Christians. Perhaps the father is even a minister. We may have every reason to suppose that we're Christians, but we're not Christians until we're born into God's family. And that happens the moment that we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so beautifully displayed in the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel, where where the Lord Jesus meets Nicodemus and illustrates to Nicodemus how to be born again. He told Nicodemus that he must be born again, and Nicodemus was puzzled. He says, how can a man enter his mother's womb the second time and be born? No, this is a spiritual birth, and it is a birth that is accomplished by the Spirit of God. And the moment that we realize that Jesus died for us on the cross and did all that was necessary to save us from our sins, the moment that we see that He is our Savior by reason of His love and His death on the cross for us, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ within us, and we have a right to call God our Father because we have been born into His family. Now, this is all the result of love. We read in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now I want to say right at this juncture in the broadcast, the fact that we're called the sons of God does not mean that the ladies are ruled out of this. This is a generic term. So many times we have the Christians referred to as the sons of God. It's a generic term. The ladies are included. Do you suppose that God only loves men? That's what the verse says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And that would seem to indicate men only. But it's not men only. This is a generic term. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We'll go on to Romans 8:14. We see the same thing touched upon there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, where do the ladies come in? Do they come in at all? Certainly they do. It's a generic term. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and the ladies are included. Now, this relationship is based upon love, and certainly it is a most wonderful relationship. Now, both sons and daughters are mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. We read there, wherefore come out from among them, Paul says, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, He's quoting a scripture, Old Testament scripture, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God does not rule out the women. So let's understand it right now, that when sons are referred to, it's a generic term. Now, the relationship of Paul and Timothy just highlights our relationship with our father and our son. Doesn't highlight it, just depicts it, is it all. It's true that our relationship with our father is much sweeter than the relationship between Paul and Timothy, however sweet that was. Now, it's a relationship of direction. We've already read in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, there, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, remember this, please. They're led by the Spirit of God. God leads us. Our life is a life of direction. We just don't wander from the moment that we trust Christ and somehow wander through this world and end up in heaven. We're led by the Spirit of God. In this we resemble the Son of God himself. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus himself was led by the Spirit of God. And we, as the sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God. So that's another beautiful part of our relationship. It's a relationship of direction. Then it's a relationship of discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 9, we read there, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Furthermore, we have had our fathers after our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Our relationship is a relationship of discipline, this matter of being a son with the Heavenly Father. And then it's a relationship of witness. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, and remember it's a generic term, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is a witnessing relationship. We witness to the Father, even as Christ witnessed to the Father. It's your privilege and my privilege to witness to the Father in heaven. And it's a relationship of mutual interest. We couldn't possibly expand that. We have the interests of our Father. We're no longer servants. We're sons, as is depicted in the fourth chapter of Galatians. And what a high and holy relationship this is, to be indeed the sons of the living God, sharing his interests, furthering his cause in this world, sharing his love, his power, his direction, his strength, his leading, and his guidance. What a blessed relationship indeed. This is only one of the figures, and six more are to follow. Our Father, today we thank you for the second chapter of 2 Timothy. Help us in the course of these studies to rise into our privileges, our relationships with God. In his name, amen.